Banging Beers Pod. Son of a bitch. Gotta get new cables. Son of a bitch. Episode 168. How do you pronounce this brewery?
Bovino.
Bovino. The Italian in me probably should know that. Jesus Christmas. Bovino's brewery, pizzeria and brewery is what we're covering today. Anthony on the call here alongside my boy Bob, and Pop's joining us this week. Jesus Christmas. This is going to drive me banana sandwich. All right. Hopefully that doesn't do that anymore. If you want to help us fix cables and do other things that are great to help the podcast, we do have a Patreon. You can head over to iwepnetwork.com, click your favorite show, which would be Banging Beers if you're listening to this. And we do have a Patreon. It's just general support. You can do $1, you can do $5, you can do $558. I don't know why I picked that number out of my hat, but that's essentially what we're looking for. If you're looking for support, also you can grab merchandise.
Why don't you just use this one?
I would have to rewrite everything underneath the table. It's a lot. Don't do it. Just plug it back in. You're stressing me out. And then also use merchandise if you can't monetarily support we have tips and donations. He threw me off on plugging stuff. With tips and donations in the link tree below, but if you can't do that, a share, a like, telling your friends we exist always helps out. That's pretty much it. Bob, what's going on, man? Who's dinging? Is that me? That's me.
Not a whole lot of beardless Bob today.
Beardless Bob, yeah.
Hopefully by next episode, it'll be back in full again. But
if you grow a full beard by next episode, and I've been struggling forever with this, I'm going to be impressed.
It was just too out of control. It was time to do a restart.
So, yeah.
An hour before I left the house to come over today, everything
now gone. What I was gonna ask is, it was one of those things where you try to trim it and then fucked up and you're like, I'm just cutting it off.
No, it was just I haven't been keeping up with it. Work's been crazy, and it just rather than try and do 20 different things to get it back in line, it was just easy.
You should just grow big handlebars.
But
you want to let people know on the camera that it is still Bob here with us. You know it's a new improved Bob, but it's coming back. The old Bob that you grew to love on this show is definitely coming back. And if you're listening to audio, you have no idea what we're talking about. Also, if you're listening to audio, a review goes a long way. So if you're listening on Apple or Spotify or whatever Apple audio source you listen to, which our audio numbers have taken a pretty big hit, which either means one or two things: people stop listening, or they're watching video somewhere because they're like, oh, well, I'll check the video out, because we kind of bring that element to the podcast, and a lot of podcasts don't do that. Should have never touched it. Pops, what have you been up to?
Working, keeping busy with work. Just, you know, sampling some craft beers in New York, upstate New York, and enjoying getting some biking in.
Yeah, that's now the time to do it.
And then some craft beers afterward.
Good, good. All right. Well, let's get into our episode here. We do have a show beer cracked. It is a little bit on the older side, so I will be full disclosure. It's one of those things. I bought a crowler for a podcast and stuck it in the fridge, and then grocery shopping happened and it fell to the back and I forgot it was there. But we are drinking our show beer is going to be Because We Spit Hot Fire from Pilgeroo Brewing Company. This was canned on 529, but it's still...
I thought it held up
already. It's fantastic. Yeah. This isn't even on their list anymore of beers.
So that's this is a collaboration between Pilgeroo and Shaler Brewing.
And I think that's why I bought it, because it was a collaboration and I didn't get a chance to try it.
It's been checked in 110 times, where it averages a 3.62. I have 4 friend check-ins where it averages a 4. This one is considered an American Pale Ale. It comes in at 5.6% ABV. And there's not much of a description to it, but pale ale with orange peel, and it is hopped with Motika and Galaxy. And the flavor profile is listed as smooth, hoppy, orange, sweet, and spicy.
Another reason why I bought it, because the board said Galaxy, and I looked at that and I said, I need that in my life. But yeah, I really, really like this. It's good. Actually, if you do check this in, it is under Shaler Brewing, if you're looking for it. It's not under Pilgeroo. But Pilgeroo, I was there last night for some music. I had a blast. Got to see some cool bands that I like in the area, especially a band that hasn't really performed so much since the pandemic. So it was like their first show back in like 2.5 years. And it was really cool to see them. The band Look Alive. Love those guys. They had a strawberry banana sour there. I think it was Cool Sour Idea 14. And wow, Yeah. Probably the best strawberry banana flavored thing I've ever had in my life. Mm. It was such a perfect balance of the both, and they did a fantastic job. And I think they only had a 6 till left that night, and that bar was packed. And that was seemed to be everyone's go-to.
Yeah.
Alongside the Blue Moisty they made again, that got that kick last night. And then but I think they have another one coming out tomorrow or in a couple, in like a day or two. But then the other one that was a big hit was the Peach Wit. So they have a series called Wit's My Age Again, and then they just do different variants of flavors. But the peach one last night went over really well. It was a good peach wit wit beer. Very like vanilla creamy. I got a lot on it, but it was really, really tasty. So cool. And I met some people there too. One of them's from the upstate New York area. This is driving me fucking bananas. Upstate New York area. And the other one lives in Baltimore, and they're buddies. They've known each other since they're kids, but they live far away. So they like meet in the middle and then explore craft beers in the area. So they came to Pottsville last night, and I got to meet them, and they were cool dudes. So cool. And they said they're going to listen to the show. I feel weird putting people's names out there just in case they're like, yeah. You know what I mean? So if you're listening, you can comment and say that was me. But yeah, thank you guys for the cool conversation. And they had a blast. They said like, where else can we go? And I said, besides Pottsville, the closest thing you can do in our area is Tamaqua. And I kind of put over Stoker's and Revere to them a little bit too. And I said, anything outside of that, you're driving 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's get our first. You have the write-up here, or you already did that one?
For the Bovinos.
Yeah.
I have some kind of write-up on three of the four of them. So
cool. Well, let's get a little bit. You said you have a little history of this place, right?
I was there twice. I spoke to one of the owners, Karen. She gave me a little background information. So it started.
Not one of those Karens, though. She's a cool Karen.
Yeah. So it started out as just a pizza restaurant in 2006. They decided they wanted to sell beer because obviously beer is one of the best things that goes with pizza.
You're damn right.
What they decided to do was, even though they didn't actively make beer, they got a brewer's license. Imagine that was a little cheaper. When you have a brewer's license, it allows you to sell any beer, wine, or liquor that is made within the borders of the Commonwealth. They operated with the liquor license for so long, and Ed, her husband, is the other owner. He is their brewer now. He got the beer bug and started doing research into it, and started experimenting and making beer on his own with a basically no prior experience, and he does a pretty damn good job today.
Is he still the solo brewer?
To the best of my knowledge, that is yes.
Wow.
They're the owners, he's the brewer. I got the feeling that there's a family vibe there too. I know like at least one of the waitresses, when I asked if I could speak to Karen on the second visit, she's like, oh, you know my aunt.
There you go.
So
I do have one quick plug I completely forgot about. So there's a business in our area called RS Candles. And they do like also soaps and shampoos and stuff, and they make candles. So right now, everyone's smelling the Guinness candle they make, and it's like a chocolatey bomb. It's fantastic. Yeah. We currently have a candle burning on the table. It's the WAP candle.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's warm apple pie. What were you thinking it was?
That's
your pervert. Yeah,
that's the WAP.
I was waiting to smell spaghetti sauce with heavy garlic.
Yeah. Or Cardi B. So it is the warm apple pie candle. They did just do, we posted on Instagram, they did a collaboration with Yingling. So you can buy a black and tan soap, like a bar soap or a candle, or a Yingling bar soap and candle.
Nice.
And of course we're commenting on it. So what do you think we said? We need Chetty.
Yeah.
We need Chetty soap and Chetty
aftershave.
I need Chetty aftershave. I want to smell like a Chetty. I want to get pulled over and be like, sir, were you drinking? I'm like, no, this is all RS's fault.
My aftershave.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, and I believe all of the Guinness, the Yingling stuff is all purchasable at the Yingling Brewery. So when you're there, it is a small town local business that makes candles and soaps, and they teamed up with Yingling, and you can buy Yingling scented stuff through them at the gift shop. So that's kind of cool.
Cool.
Let's go back
my recommendation would be to go with the Cherry Fix first. This is a cherry wheat ale.
Let's do it.
How's the pizza?
We ate there twice. Everything was fantastic.
I was gonna say, I thought you were gonna say we didn't get the pizza.
We had the meat lovers pie the first time, and we had the chicken bacon ranch the second time. The pizza was phenomenal both times. We also both times we got garlic parmesan wings. The wings are fantastic. The meat is nice and juicy, and they're fantastic.
Nice.
Now, when you say garlic parm wings, is that the creamy garlic parm or the
no? That is like butter garlic.
Yeah.
And then they literally pour grated parmesan cheese on top of them.
Okay.
Mm. And they have French onion soup on the menu. Like I am with the Reuben sandwiches, Rosa is a French onion soup fanatic.
So that's like you walk in, that's your meal. That's what you look for.
And if there's a Reuben on the menu, unless I go there specifically for something else, yeah, I'm probably going to try
the Reuben. I'm the same way with chicken parmesan. If they have a chicken parm sub or just a chicken parm meal, that's what I'm going for every single time.
But Rosa hands down said that that is the best French onion soup she's ever had.
Wow.
So
that's a statement.
That is a statement.
So that's probably well over 100 establishments.
Yeah, because you guys don't mess around. You travel a lot.
Yeah. So.
And where are they located again?
So they're in East Stroudsburg. The correct street address is 331 North Cortland Street. If anyone is familiar with
can't escape area, Cortland.
Cortland.
Yeah.
They're just right down the road from Brewski's Distributor.
All right, we got people in the chat hanging out with us. Angel, the employee of the month, right there. You're gonna be the employee of the year in our hearts. Employee of the lifetime, Angel from Poor Men's. Watching while drinking a Stone, enjoy 7.422 pineapple and tangerine IPA. Cheers, boys. Thank you, man. We are gonna plan on making a trip very soon. This month is gonna be kind of jam-packed for us here at the podcast. Like we said before, actually we didn't say yet. So if you're looking to hang out with us, we have two events that you guys can come, and they are obviously public events, but we will definitely be at next weekend, next Saturday. Yingling is throwing their giant celebration, which is going to be pretty much all of downtown Pottsville. They're estimating like 25 to 50,000 people are going to be downtown Pottsville. So you can come hang out. We'll be bar hopping. Pretty much you can find us at Pilgaroo, but that's probably where we'll be at. Pilgaroo is going to have, so it's very country themed. For the event for Yingling, I don't know the country singer, but I heard he's really popular. That's going to be performing that day. I don't know. I'm doing a horrible job promoting this. But if you want to hear the opening act that plays before them, I would more recommend them just because they're local and they're fucking awesome. I'm not a huge country guy, but this band is like country meets hard rock. And they're fantastic, the Nick Tower Band. So
Nick Tower.
The Tower, yeah. And they will be taking the main stage opening for the main act, so definitely go support those guys. They're fantastic. They actually played at Pilgrim last night, just hard rock, and it's just like country splashed in. They're fucking awesome, and every one of the band is dope. So yeah, that'll be happening then. And then the end of the month is the School County Brew Fest. VIP tickets are completely sold out. And then the event itself is still open for you to purchase and come hang out. So come hang out at School County Brew Fest. They'll be having tons and tons of food trucks, tons of fucking breweries. You can vote for your beer of the day. And also, they will be setting a professional wrestling ring up in the middle of the street, and they will have four matches that day, which will be absolutely fantastic. Nice. So professional wrestling and beer, always hand in hand for me.
You get the cross podcast in.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be doing a little bit of both.
Going back to Yingling, it's downtown Pottsville. Lee Bryce is the
country. Lee Bryce, yeah.
That's going to be headline.
I said he's popular. I don't know much about
him. I'm guessing he is. I have not listened to much of his stuff. I can get into some country.
I like, Stapleton. I like Travis Brown. Zach Brown.
Yep.
And that's pretty much where it stops for me, I think.
Yeah, I'm like more like a... Hank Williams Sr.
Yeah, I'm a little more yesterday.
Patsy Cline.
I don't go that far back, but I'm a little more yesterday. I can listen to some Blake Shelton once in a while.
See, my problem is when they all do the same, like every, and it's like, and I'm not, it's not just country I'm shitting on here. Like new hip hop does it too. It's like hit your five talking points. Everyone has the same style.
Yeah.
Put it on a wax and get it out. You know what I mean? It's just like no one's different. You know what I mean? And I don't know. That's where I kind of stand with it. But
country music has really come a long way. Now it really crosses genres.
Yeah. Yeah. It's become very poppy. It's become very like it has a little bit of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so this is the cherry wheat. I will say this is tasty.
So this is called a cherry fix. It's considered, I thought it would have been fruited wheat beer, but it says that it is a other wheat beer. It comes in at 4.8% ABV. It's listed at 19 IBUs. It's been checked in 30 times, where it averages a 3.64. I have two friend check-ins, where it averages a 4.13. I'm going to read the description on the brewery's menu.
There you go.
A classic American wheat beer brewed with American two-row and domestic white wheat, along with just the right amount of black cherries, combined for a super smooth, refreshing beer.
Yeah, I was gonna say the black cherry. Yeah, I was gonna say like the cherry is not like your traditional cherry. And then as soon as you said black, that's the ones we would always buy at the house. We would have a bag full of black cherries, and then there'd be an ashtray full of seeds somewhere because I would spit them in the ashtray and then get in trouble for spitting them in the ashtray by mom. Lee Bryce is doing the concert. He and Aaron Nola of the Philadelphia Phillies. They both promote Yuengling now. So there's going to be a professional Phillies player there as well as the country singer. Thank you, Sam Bruce. If you're going to be in attendance, man, let me know. We'll share some beers or hang out and have some beers. But this is good. I don't know, man. Like, so when I first had the like wheat beers, it kind of almost had that like grassy, earthy thing. And now that people are adding the fruit adjuncts to it, it makes a really nice beer.
Yeah.
Like very easy drinking. That
it used to be the biscuity, weedy.
Yes, that's a two trip. That's seven different beers at the brewery. Not a bad one in the bunch. I found everything enjoyable.
Yeah.
And at any given day, they have 13 taps. It's all stuff they make themselves. They didn't have any guest taps or anything.
Yeah. Nice. This is good. I will say, I think what definitely sets us apart is that black cherries.
Absolutely. I was expecting more on the sour side when they said it's a cherry fix. I was expecting that, like that sour tart cherry.
Yeah, like
the
like,
black cherries,
like the like the cherries you'd buy in a can with the juice. Like I thought they were gonna go with that and put that in the mat or whatever the
maraschino.
Yeah, the maraschino cherries. I thought that when I heard cherries, I thought exactly that's what they were gonna go with. And I think the black cherries are the move.
Using wheat keeps it nice and light body.
Yeah.
And again, wheat helps contribute to a smoother mouthfeel. And again, that's hopped and fruited perfectly.
Yeah,
absolutely. I can't say anything bad about it.
Yeah, that's really, really tasty.
I went with the, I guess you checked it in at a 4 before. I gave it a 4 also.
Yeah, I was initially 3.75 and then I bumped it to a 4 only because I think for me, the black cherries is, you don't get that very often with cherry flavoring. You go with that.
Absolutely.
I haven't had black cherry. Now I want to go buy a bag. Fucking way to go, Bonavino's.
I'll be stopping somewhere.
Yeah. That used to be a fixture in our house, especially on South Street. That was like, they're always in the grapes and black cherries.
Yeah.
And pretty much whoever got to the back first.
When the cost comes down.
Yeah.
We mom would buy a big bag of them.
Mm-hmm. And whoever got to them first, it was just like you're pissed off if you got home late that day. And you're like, they're gone already.
Yeah, that'd be supper for somebody.
Yeah. There's certain items in our house that would go very, very fast. It would be black cherries. It would be grapes. It would be fucking Middlesworth barbecue chips.
Can't keep Middlesworth barbecue.
Oh, that you was
cannot buy a bag big enough.
Gears iced tea.
Yeah.
Someone, you go to the store. You're buying Gears iced tea. Like that's. Yeah. Yo, we would have family fights over Middlesworth barbecue chips. Because, like, you would be at home and you're like, oh, we just bought those. And you'd be thinking about it all day and then come home and they're fucking gone. You're like, you son of a.
Or to go on the Wayback Machine, the only time I can remember us getting like that crazy over chips is when they used to, the delivery with the cans for Charles chips.
Charles chips.
Called, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Looking forward to both Yuengling and Brewfest. We have to meet up at some point during the event. Absolutely. So we were kicking around ideas of how we can do more, like especially when we go out and do things. And so peel the curtain back a little bit. So I have a camera set up and I have to usually bring like when I'm on location, I usually bring like 14 bags. I have to fill up an entire trunk because I bring everything in case I need it. Because if something goes wrong, I want to be able to get it all down. And after much practice and figuring things out, I think I got it down to what I need and what I don't need. And then more research, finding out that what I can do it with even less. So my goal is to literally, if like we go to a brewery, we go somewhere, bring a backpack and we can record, which would be ideal. So I do have one, but I want to get a second, like a newer version of it. But and this is where donations, Patreon, merchandise sales would help out. But it's already happening regardless. If we get no support, I'm buying it. But we're getting GoPros. Mm-hmm. So I think when we go to like breweries and stuff, I can have two GoPros set up and then have our wireless mics and then just edit it all together and still keep really high quality, but also bring very, very light equipment to still get recording. And I bought a fanny pack, right? So you're going to see your boy with fanny packs a lot. And it's so I'm obsessed with the new Stranger Things show. If you guys haven't watched it, go watch it. I'll give you a little rundown of what to expect. So maybe you will watch it in a little bit. That's what I'm bringing to the table.
It's on my list.
It's so good. I always wanted JanSport backpacks growing up, but they were expensive and mom wasn't buying them. No chance. I always get a Kmart bag. That was it. So JanSport did a collaboration with Stranger Things and I bought a backpack and then I seen the fanny pack and I was like, I looked at it and it's deep, like it's a deep, big fanny pack. And I was like, I can put the GoPro, the batteries, like I can bring most of my travel stuff and the wireless mics and just throw it in like a fanny pack and walk around Brewfest and just be like, yo, clip this on. And we can go up to a place, throw the camera on, say, hey, we're trying this beer, and then edit it all together and do like a vlog of the day. Yeah. I'm going to try it this year. And then this way, if I get hammered and I drop a GoPro, it's not like I'm dropping my really nice DSLR or I'm dropping my cell phone and then I'm screwed and I'm killing my battery on my phone all day and then I'm stuck and I need drunk to call Heidi to get me home. I can use the GoPro. So that's what we're going to start doing soon is using the GoPro stuff. So hopefully when we go out to places, even if we just go out as a like to hang out, we can still do like content and record like, hey, this is us at a bar because we could just stick it in front of us and record something, you know?
Yeah.
So hopefully with that, it'll open up the door for not only this podcast, but the other ones on the network to get more content. I'm going to be doing a vlog when I do wrestling shows. Like if I'm doing commentary, like the day of my show, and it's like a video journal for me because I don't know when this experience is going to end. And you know how much I was obsessed with professional wrestling growing up.
God.
So the fact I'm like in the business is crazy to me. So I want to video record it. Like even if I'm going to put it out for people if they want to enjoy it, but it's more for me. Like this is for me to go back in like 10 years, be like, I wish I would have had it when I was talking to Jimmy Snuka or like Jimmy Hart and all these other people. Not Snuka, I met Snuka when I was a kid. But yeah, so yeah, the GoPro is going to be a cool thing for us, and I'm excited. So if you do see us, we can record and do some fun things. What do we got here? Sorry, you should make a Calvary flag with a giant ass pole with banging beer so people can find you guys easily. we're very loud and big. You'll find us.
We'll have the podcast flag. Are you going to bring in a podcast flag?
No. Are you going to walk around with it?
Last year we all wore podcast shirts, so
I'm not sure.
I didn't know if you were setting up a tent like the first.
No, we're just gonna walk around.
Okay,
we're gonna do what we did last year. We just kind of walk around and just enjoy the event. We're not buying a tent and stuff. We could possibly do that in the future, like if we get to the point where like I'm not ruling it out. Like there may be a day we buy a tent again.
Yeah, the problem with the tent was
it got hot as balls and we really had nothing else to provide. Like if we had merchandise and we were popular enough that people were in demand for our product, we could set up a tent and sell t-shirts and stuff, but we're not hopheads. Like no one's going to like look for the hophead stand to buy t-shirts off us.
Yeah,
so we're not at that level where I feel like we deserve a tent yet.
No,
like,
I hear
we
you.
Did it once and it was fun and I met a lot of cool people. Like that's how Bob found us. But I think walking around and meeting people is just as
absolutely
valuable.
You get to network, you take the network to them.
Yeah. Whenever you go to events like this, I'm probably gonna wear my Chetty shirt, kind of maybe.
I think we should. Everyone should wear their own Chetty shirt.
I'm gonna wear my Chetty shirt and walk around with that. But all right, let's get our next.
I'm gonna say we should do the lip tickler next. This is a kettle sour, a fruited kettle sour.
The art is so simple. I like it.
Yeah,
and that was one of the reasons that I didn't actually get the beer before I ended up having to go to Illinois. Is they had an issue with their canning line, and they asked not to air the generic labels they were using because they actually have an artist on hand that they have he's a paid member of the staff, whatever, or you know whether it's like an attorney where they're on a retainer or whatever, but they have their own artist that designs Sick. Every label.
Yeah, we have one of those too. Her name's Haley Stokes. She does all of our art. She's fantastic. Well, this one was done by Noah. but Haley does probably 80% to 90% of the network art. All right. What's this called again?
Lip Tickler.
Lip Tickler. So it's going to be like one of those.
So it's not going to be as sour as you think, but I enjoyed this one as well.
Oh, no. It's more
strawberry
tart
on the label.
Wow. Okay. I'm immediately getting another flashback taste thing here. This tastes like something to me that I'm a huge fan of. Without the cream, like the vanilla cream to it, the strawberry of this.
Wait. I know what you're talking about because you gave me the label.
What's that?
The Zeppelin one.
A little bit, yeah.
That's made that has a strawberry taste with no strawberries in it.
Oh, yeah. That was a strawberry beer with no strawberries. Yeah. That was really good. But this tastes like, to me, the strawberry cream candies. The gummy candies.
Oh, the gummy. I'm not familiar with the gummy candy.
Yeah, they look like strawberries and they're gummy. They have like the green stem, the red thing, and at the back, it's like a white cream on the back of the candy, but it's like a strawberry cream candy.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of those.
So this is a Lip Tickler, a wild berry kettle sour. This comes in at a 5% ABV.
Real quick. That one you're talking about was called Strawberry Zeppelin, and it was made by, I believe, Equilibrium. It's right here on the Equilibrium made it, and it was a strawberry beer, but did not use strawberries.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
So this one's been checked in 60 times, where it averages a 3.97. I have two friend check-ins where it averages a 4.25. Again, I'm going to go off their menu's description here. This is a mix of blueberry, blackberry, wild strawberry, raspberry, and boysenberry to create this lip-tickling kettle sour monster. And the flavor profile on Untappd is listed as berries, sour, clean, tart, and lemony.
It's tart, and it's not like, but it's not a bad tart at all. This is and it's not over to me at least. It's not overly.
It's not going to squint your face up.
Yeah, it's not going to squint your face up. And you don't feel like if you drink a bunch of, like if you drink a pint or two of these, you're going to be like a headache next day.
It's sour enough that you don't feel you got gypped out of the sour. And it still lets all the fruit flavors come through and be the highlight.
Yeah, this is really good. I think if like these are this and the cherry, I think if I would be interested to see if Heidi would try these and if she would make that beer face. Like she hates the beer taste because
this might be the one to do it.
Yeah. That'd be one.
It's a nice balance between tartness and sour with the nice mixture of, I mean, you can tell it's strawberry. You look at the label and you say, oh, I'm going to taste strawberry because there's a picture of a strawberry on it. But then you taste it and you're like, yeah, that's more than just strawberry.
Yeah,
that's a whole bunch of berry flavor.
It's fantastic. That's really good. Shit, man. And you said. I mean, without giving away like your beer of the night or anything, but you said normally your cherry's your go-to, right?
For beer,
for them, right?
Well, I had the cherry fix the first time I was here. I had this one the second time I was there. When I picked the beers, I went to the cooler with Karen, and she picked four of what they had available.
This is Karen's pick.
So Karen picked all four of these.
Do they? Can I see the beer list?
Yes.
I just want to see what else they have here. So the Pilot is a pale ale. Riding Dirty, love the name of that. A dirty blonde ale. Blood Orange IPA.
That was good.
Mr. B's American Lager. Mm-hmm. Mrs. T's, I get a little Mrs. T's vibe in there. Yeah. Better Days Ahead IPA. Butterface, which we have on the table. Cherry Fix, we have it. Justin Ahaze. Hazy IPA.
Oh, that was a good one, too. I had that this week.
Breeze Nuts.
I had that one as well.
Mango Summer Ale. That sounds good.
Oh, that's very good, yeah.
Uncle Sticky's Porter. That's not on the table. A Lemon Shandy and a Mighty Mosaic. It's a pretty impressive beer list.
Yeah.
I honestly, for me going here, I would go lager first. If I did a flight, I'd go lager. I'd go Dirty Blonde. I'd probably go the mango, and I would
the flights are four. I should say something up at the top. I believe it's four.
Yeah.
Flight.
And I'd probably go Blood Orange. So it's funny because the four that I probably wouldn't have went with on this table, like I wouldn't have went with these four beers, but now I'm glad I like she picked these because these are four beers that I'm enjoying that I wouldn't have tried if I would have picked a flight of their lineup. I wouldn't have picked anything on this table, but everything on this table has been fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably would not have gone with the Cherry Fix or the,
and I'd have been mad at myself if I would have tasted it later and be like, man, I didn't try that. You
know what I mean? Yeah. But I would have definitely gone with the Nut Brown Ale.
The porter, I would say you would have went with
the Butterface. I don't know about
the Uncle porter. Stickies.
Probably would. I don't know if I would have gone all dark. I would have gone with the just with a hazy, the lager.
You don't want a hazy.
I would have went with the hazy.
Wow, we have converted him.
I would have had to try the Nut Brown Ale, and I probably would have went with the Butterface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's break.
That certainly has two flight. That's a two. That looks that, like a two flight visit. That beer list is a two flight visit.
I agree. That's like Stalker's territory where there's so much on the menu and you're like, yeah. Oh man, I got to try more.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Here's the keys. You're driving. I'm going to have a couple of flights here.
You're going to hate me on the car ride home.
Yep.
Let's take a quick break here. We do have another show beer-ish beer. This is one that's Bob's been sitting on for a minute. This is a little bit of an aged bottle. He's been really proud of these. He's been sitting on a few of them. And I he kept saying, like, can we do them on the show? Can we do them on the show? And I kept saying, I'm not a huge stout guy. And not only am I not a stout guy, but I'm also not someone who likes the, like, coffee stouts, as well as if this is probably going to have, like, a maple-y syrup taste just by guessing it. So this is everything I'm not going to enjoy in a stout. So I want somebody else on the show that's going to be able to enjoy this so I don't waste a bottle. So Pops is here today. He likes his stouts. So we're going to crack open a beer from 2016. Oh, this one's 18.
Well, they should all be 16. That one's 16.
This just says 18.
Yeah, maybe this one's just smeared.
Yeah.
So I've had them for a while.
There you go. So these have been aged. These are, I would say, Weyerbacher's like top, like people really, really go for these, right?
Well, see, and that's another thing too. Unless the brewery specifically mentions it as a vintage thing, Untappd routinely goes behind and wipes them out. So when I actually bought a case of this.
Oh, wow.
Someone special ordered it, and then when they showed up to pick it up and found out what it cost, they wouldn't take it. So I got it at a bit of a discount after it sat for so long. When I originally logged it in, I did it by the vintage, and they deleted it and merged it into the regular ones.
Really? So just put in the description, this is from 2018 or 2016.
So people go back and recreate them all the time, and at some point, someone in moderation will come back and re-delete it.
Yeah.
I've had this before.
Have you had it from 2016?
I had it in 2017.
Oh, but have you had it aged since?
No.
Yeah.
It has a chance to redeem itself because I gave it a mid-level score.
So this was bottled on February 12th, 2018.
Sunday breakfast style from Weyerbacher Brewing. And if you don't know anything about Weyerbacher, they try to murder you with their beers.
I can smell the boozy already.
Boozy already. I can just smell it.
When I went up there for a wrestling show, I left some stickers. Unfortunately, we didn't hear anything back. But I said, like, hey, would you guys be interested in doing a podcast? And as I said it, I was like, we're going to need a DD that episode. Because even if we do. Oh, yeah. Because everything they do is. 8% is like their lowest beer they probably make.
Sunday morning stout from the Weyerbacher Brewing Company of Easton, Pennsylvania. This is considered an imperial or double coffee stout. It comes in at 12.7 ABV. 4 years apparently did nothing to dilute that because I can still smell it.
Absolutely.
It's listed at 46 IBUs.
So this one, the one we're drinking right now, is from 18, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
It has been logged in, and I'm just going off the base Sunday morning stout. I didn't look for a year. This has been logged in approximately 63,000 times, where it averages a 4.15. I have 95 friend check-ins, where it averages a 4.21. Sunday Morning Stout is an American Imperial Stout aged in bourbon barrels with locally roasted coffee from our friends at Fieldstone Coffee Roasters. The aromas of roasted coffee and bourbon awaken your senses, while their flavors blend with hints of chocolate, roasted malt, vanilla, and caramel. The flavor profile is listed as coffee, boozy, strong, smooth, and sweet.
So I don't smell coffee, but I smell boozy and I smell chocolate.
Oh, you'll get coffee.
Really?
Fuck. The coffee and the chocolate, absolutely.
That's still fantastic.
Yeah.
Vanilla, caramel, coffee, chocolate.
Your taste.
The boozy floats around everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting a little. I'm trying to like Jedi mind trick myself into just like erasing the coffee taste and getting everything else. And I do get chocolate, but it is very, very coffee. Yeah. See, when I see Sunday Morning, I always think like a breakfast out. Like a lot of people put like the maple syrup in. So I didn't know what was in this before having it. But yeah, it's just definitely just a coffee stout. But the booziness takes away a lot of the coffee-ness for me.
Yeah.
And it adds a little bit more of the chocolatiness. It is good. I'm still not going to rate it or score it because it's not my style of beer. But I'm definitely happy I tried it.
I've had this before at a local place, and I'm going to bump it up a half a point from last time. I don't know why I gave it a mid-level 3 last time.
A 3's not mid-level. Mid-level would be like 2.5.
But I'm going to bump this up to the 3.5 because I think my flavor palette has matured a bit. I'm picking up the caramel. I'm picking up the vanilla where before I didn't. It was just coffee.
Boozy and coffee, yeah.
Yeah.
And then once you get used to this kind of thing, you're able to pick out more stuff.
It is crazy how much we've changed in 4 years.
This brewery is hosting Bikes and Beers in August 20th.
Before or after the bike ride?
After that's the brewery that's hosting it. So Bikes and Beers will be at Weybacher in Easton August 20th for a
get everybody jacked up and put you as in a velodrome where you're like, riding on the side.
You can do 15, 30, or 45 mile rides. Fortunately, I'm scheduled to be with a group bike ride that weekend in the Doylestown area. So I don't
think, talk them out of it.
I'll be texting them at some point. The problem is the guy in our group that's kind of hosting that ride, because he lives in the Doylestown area, has already scheduled some different things.
Oh yeah. You can't.
So I don't want to say, don't hey, we should guy. Do this and yeah, then take away guy. From what it's his ride.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
His group ride.
Just go with it.
But, yeah, I could certainly see me getting into having a lot of problems doing the Bikes and Beers at Weybacher, because I could sit there and drink this. I can sit there and have 3-4 of these and then have to call somebody for a ride.
You think you'd be able to have 3 or 4 of those?
I'd be like, I need someone to come pick me and my bicycle up.
So here, I'm just going to run through a quick thing here. So this is Weybacher's breweries out of the 526 beers they've made, right? They average a 3.78. They're from Easton, Pennsylvania. So the Sunday Morning Stout, the one we just drank, is a 12.7.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mary Monk's is a 9.3. The Pumpkin Ale is an 8. The Blithering Idiot, 11.1. So they did make a normal beer. A Last Chance IPA, 5.9. Yeah, 5.9.
Did they have like a 9% lager?
Yeah. They had a 9.5% Mexican lager when we were there. Yeah. Double Simcoe IPA, 9%. Tiny, 11.8.
I'm trying to think, where the heck was I? They had a 9.6. It wasn't Weybacher, but they had a 9.6% cream ale.
Yeah, they.
That was why I was in Illinois.
I forgot they made that. I did have this beer. Here's another reason why you should love this brewery. Even though we're not Eagle fans, but who do we all collectively hate?
Dallas sucks. Dallas
they have a beer sucks. Called Dallas Sucks. Yeah.
Is that the can I saw?
That actually is not crazy. That one's only like a 4.5.
I don't know. I saw a can of Dallas Sucks beer, and it wasn't mine, so I couldn't paste it.
Like a steer skull on the label, I believe.
I don't remember what the can looked like, but it was not Dallas, my beer, so I didn't open it.
The Dallas Sucks one, it's literally just a white can, and it's Dallas Sucks on it.
Yeah. But it wasn't mine, so I didn't taste it. I don't know if I would want to.
Is it? Yeah, that's the can.
Yeah.
That's not the one I saw.
Steer skull in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not the one I saw. There's a different one out there then.
This is the beer for the fans.
Yeah.
They're great. I love Weyerbacher. That's a place if you're listening, Weyerbacher.
I got to do a bike ride along the DNL, which goes from that section, goes from Allentown out to Easton, down to Delaware, Jersey. To Washington Crossing and beyond, and I've got to get to Easton now to visit this brewery, but I'm gonna need a DD because I know I'll be a puddle if I visit that place.
Maybe we can do some scheduling there, and it'll be a road trip and we're Rosie event.
There you go.
So I guess I'll queue up the red ale next if we want to go here.
So this is my shameless plug of getting you guys to watch a new TV show.
Stranger Things. You're not the first person to tell me that I should be watching Stranger Things.
So Stranger Things is a show about a bunch of kids from this little tiny rural America town. And the kids are it's a set piece. So everything in the show is from the 80s. The people who make this show literally built a town and said, like, every single piece of this town has to be 80s. We don't want anything that's not in this time period in this town.
Right.
The actors have to wear clothing from that time period. Their haircuts have. And then if you sign up for this show, you are stuck with that hair. This poor kid in this show has the worst fucking haircut of all time. and he has like the bowl cut that's longer in the back. And he had been rocking that since he's like 8 years old because they've all got
the bowl mullet.
Yeah, the bowl mullet. Yeah. So essentially, these kids are into D&D and they're into sci-fi. They're into like so everything's like they're in, and it's not like other things don't exist. So they love Star Wars. They love all that stuff. They play Dungeons and Dragons, and they end up finding this girl in the woods. And this girl in the woods is an escaped patient from this testing facility.
Well, that's even better because I was just going to say mental patient, right?
Well, she looks like a mental patient, but here it's like this.
Is this on? I'm sorry.
It should be.
Check. Yeah. There it is.
So she's an escaped patient, but she looks like a mental patient. But here is this government facility that has been testing like mind control. Like she's like she has telekinesis. She has all these amazing superpowers, but she can also like open up realms to alter dimensions.
Oh, interesting.
And she escaped because she was pretty much a prisoner, and now she's amongst regular people and the government's trying to capture her back. So it starts off that season, and then it just progresses and progresses and progresses and progresses. But it's so cool how they keep everything to the time frame thing. So if you're into like horror and sci-fi and comedy and it takes you on an emotional roller coaster because it gets you super attached to these like characters. It does so well. It's on Netflix, but like I said, it's so good.
Let me ask you a question. Is it still a series that's ongoing or has it completed?
So it just finished season 4. Season 5 is going to be the last season it's ever going to do. And okay. That's not going to happen until probably next year.
Okay.
So, but I will say if you get caught up now, you will be in time for next year to check out the final season finale.
Yeah, I hate going on to like Netflix or HBO Max and then start watching a series. And then I'm trying to think of a series that did it to me where you get to the end of what you have available and the next season isn't out yet.
It's going to be like that, but you have 4 seasons to watch.
All right.
To the next one. But I'm telling you,
Shameless did that to me.
Yeah.
Where I was waiting for season 8 or 9.
And it still let you down anyway.
And well, you kind of know the family's going to break up,
but the main actress left the show for pay reasons, and they didn't even allude to her that she even existed at the end of it. Which I know
the ending of why they did with Shameless, what they did is, but you kind of had a figure.
The show gave me anxiety.
but like the political shows, the political series,
yeah,
like Madam Secretary and West Wing, you know they're going to come to an end. You only have about 3-4 years that you can do those mm-hmm. because they're political. You're only going to be in politics for so long. You know, the president can only be in there for 8 years max. So the most you're going to do is 8 seasons. How many times can you put the president into a situation where it makes it interesting for 8 seasons?
Is this called the autumn ale? The autumn red ale?
Yeah, I double checked. It's the only red ale.
It's the autumn red ale I've got.
Okay. Yeah. So I will say this. I think season one was fantastic. Season two is good, but not as good as all the other ones.
Okay.
So I think if you now watch back, some people will be like, season two is not that great, but it's still good. Like, it's, you still need to watch it to be caught up with the other ones.
Okay.
Season three was unbelievable. Season four was mind blowing.
It's on my list.
And then when you get this, like, I think by the time you get to season five, it's going to be such a culture phenomenon because it's going to be the end. It's going to be like Seinfeld, but they did it in 5 seasons. It's going to be fantastic. So definitely start watching it. It's really, really fucking good.
Bob, what is this flavor I'm tasting?
Red ale.
So this one,
besides the malts, what is this flavor?
Well, so this one's not on the menu that's here. I'm gonna go off the Untappd one, and then I spoke to Karen a little bit about this one when we bought the beer. I'll get into that then. So this is the Bovino Autumn Red Ale from Bovino's Pizzeria and Brewery of East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. This is considered an American amber or red ale. It comes in at 5.6% ABV, and it's listed at 18 IBUs. There's been 22 logins where it averages a 3.55.
Why is no one checking these beers?
And, I know. I'm telling you, you got to go there, man. It's worth a trip. I have one friend check in with no score.
Tiki girl?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how to get, I got her on my friends list, but she didn't score it. She doesn't score a lot of her beers, though. Sorry to interrupt.
You know why she probably does? Because she's probably trying to become a beer influencer, and the number one rule is don't score your beers. We've been breaking that rule now for 4 years.
But there's no real description here for Untappd, and it's just listed as roasty, malty, and sweet. Some of the things you should taste in here, this should be malty.
Yes.
It should be smooth.
Yes.
You should get hints of caramel in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a sweetness to it. I think that which it makes it different than every other red ale I've had.
Yeah.
And that's where I was going next. There should be a touch of sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the caramel, combination of the caramel and the malts that gives it that kind of a unique flavor profile.
Almost like a touch of nuttiness too on the back.
Yeah.
End.
Yes.
This is fantastic.
Yes.
Fuck, man. I thought I had my beer of the night, and then this bastard jumped in the mix.
Yeah. If prior to opening that can, if you would have said, so what are you thinking for beer of the night so far? I was going way back.
Well, that's not down. On the list.
Okay, that's not on the list.
So yeah, beer of the night is only the brewery that we're showcasing.
Okay.
Yeah, we did change that a little bit.
Then the cherry was the beer of the night for me so far, but then I had this.
Yeah, I was torn between the cherry and the lip tickler. Like the lip tickler was really good. I thought the wild berries and the strawberries might have edged out cherry, but the red ale is really, really fucking good. I would drink this. This would be the one I would stick with all day.
Yeah.
If this is my first pour, I'd have been like, yo, just keep this coming.
Oh, this is definitely a session beer
too. Yeah. I would have bought this, and then I would have went to the cooler and bought a 4-pack to go home.
Yep.
This is fantastic. I'm bummed that we only have one can of this in front of us right now. But yeah, what else I wanted to say about the there's something else about Stranger Things I wanted to say, but I completely forgot now. I don't know. But yeah.
It's on my list.
Yeah, definitely watch it. It's really fun. And then I watched a documentary on Netflix. I should find it real quick. Hold on. Let me get the name of it. You guys talk while I pull this up.
You know, this is probably not a good conversation to have considering the recent events in Washington, D.C.
Fuck the Supreme Court. I'll make that stance right now.
I don't disagree. I agree. I agree with you on that, on the subject. I think they fucked up. I'll be honest with you.
Like, how do you, and then for the fucking douchebag to get on TV and be like, you know what we're looking at next? Gay marriage. How, dude, That is a fucking roll the dice. You literally said, ha ha, got you. Now I'm coming for more rights.
From a Supreme Court justice that has an interracial marriage.
Yeah.
So go figure. And I hate to get political on your beer cup.
That's not political. That's just fucking human rights.
Fucking stupid.
Listen,
and I'm not saying that because so women will be like, oh, he's so cool. He
supports we're not doing this to get chicks. We're locked in.
I couldn't get.
None of us are having kids at the table.
Let me preface this. I could not get laid in a whorehouse with a fistful of hundreds. Okay, so I'm not out there trying to get laid by any stretch, but I just don't agree with the Supreme Court decision on abortion. I think women deserve the right to choose their body, what happens to their body, no different than I should have the right to choose if I want to put a vaccination in my body.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just it boggles my mind that I said this the other day talking to a friend of mine, and I say it kind of comically, but it's serious. Men should not be making decisions on what women can or cannot do to their bodies.
Absolutely.
No different than people who don't know guns should be passing laws on gun control.
Sure.
I say that a little facetiously, but
my thing is true. My thing is like, we're all about caring for a fetus before it's born. But once a fetus is born, we have nothing in place to then help said fetus or our mother or parents to be sustainable. The reason why a lot of parents are like, I don't know if I'm ready for this thing, are the parents or people who make that, who have this decision, are go through situations, because it's like, I'm not financially capable of this. I can't, the healthcare, the prenatal care, everything. Like, you want to cut down on abortions or maybe making decisions easier? Fucking make people less poor.
Are they now going to increase the? We're going down the rabbit hole.
But the biggest thing for me is we're going down the rabbit hole.
And yeah, I don't
want to. The biggest thing for me is listen. I want you to have all of the rights, no matter what your age, sex, religion. Listen, if you want to practice the Bible, have at it. Enjoy the Bible. But I don't think your book should dictate how I live my life.
The thing that stupefies me the most about their decision on that is the timing of it, with the midterms right around the corner. And
yes,
you would think that like they wouldn't want to, anybody who could not see that as causing a huge uprising and
rebalance the scales.
It shouldn't be in charge of anything.
Yeah.
And to announce that close to the elections is that's to me has got to be like the epitome of stupid. That's like your announcement the day after you win the election.
It can go two ways. But it can go either, cool, we're going to give our people the victory they need to then vote for more people so that the states can take over this right and change it as well. Or you piss off more people who are probably not voters, because they, like me, I don't vote. I've never voted in my entire life. But it's getting to the point where it's like I have to pick the necessary of two evils, and
You don't have to pick the necessary.
I don't trust Democrats as much as I don't.
I fired the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And I'm now independent. I can't vote in the primaries.
Yeah,
well, that depends on where you live.
But I can vote in the general election.
Like, I'm independent, but like I'm. But I think like I also feel like I'm not as important as someone who's registered to Republican or Democrat, because I can't.
Well, you know, the only reason in most states, independents can't vote in the primaries because you don't have a party affiliation, and the party is selecting who they want to run against the Democrat,
okay,
or the Republican.
I mean, that makes sense.
So you, in the primary, you got a bunch of Republicans running for the office and a bunch of Democrats running for the office, and then it's kind of like the playoffs. The winner goes against each other.
But my team can never make it to the playoffs.
Oh, in most cases, that's intentional too. They go out of their way to do their best to make
and,
sure that
and
there
the independent
is no seat for the third party.
The independent has to lean one way, or like Bernie Sanders has to lean Democrat to get the Democratic vote in his state.
But the Democrats don't trust him. But the Democrats don't trust him, so they're never going to give it to him.
They never fucking back him.
Yeah,
in what he wants to do, because he's like, but you're fucking independent. Get out of here.
But he keeps getting elected.
He does,
because the people.
He does.
Like it kills me. Like the other day, they said something about Patrick Leahy, and I'm like, he is still in office. Like I can remember like him from the actually from the Clarence Thomas hearings.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my God, that Reagan was a fucking president. He's still sitting in a chair.
Well, what better way to talk politics? And we're at that point of the show. We have one more beer to go. Let's crack the booze open.
Yeah. I said I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole. And here we are down the fucking rabbit hole looking up.
So we added a few episodes back. Well, we add a booze to the episode. And what better time to then spiral out of control and hate our country sometimes on this amazing Independence Day weekend?
I can't go so far.
I would never go to say I'm disappointed. I might not be particularly fond of the people running it from time to time, but
I don't hate my country, but I'm very disappointed.
The greatest country in the fucking world, but it's not far from perfect. It's far from perfect.
Is this not open?
No, somebody just broke the tax down. That's all. Right.
It's far from perfect, but it's still, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
I don't know, man. Canada and UK seem kind of.
Nah, different. I wouldn't want to. I'll stand firm on that statement.
All right. Well, speaking of beautiful countries, let's go over to the Dominican Republic, shall we?
You almost became a Brittany Griner, the original Brittany Griner in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
So Brugal is probably the biggest distiller on the island. They make several different kinds of rum. I'm fortunate to have an
inside hookup,
a regular supply. I get to try a good deal of the different versions, and it's my opinion, and I would actually call this a sipper as opposed to a. If you've had any kind of rum before, I think you're going to find this is fantastic.
So when I went to Dominican Republic, they had Brugal, but they had like the special reserved, which is like a bottle, like a blue bottle with the netting around it.
This is called Leyenda. It means legendary. Mm. So, and actually go ahead and take a whiff of that.
I smelled it. Yeah. It smells smooth.
Oh man.
But Brugal. Oh. So when you go to Dominican Republic, the joke we made, holy fuck, oh Bob, you're going for it. Going for at least two knuckles there.
Not afraid to appreciate good stuff.
Yeah. So when you go to Brugal, at least that way you go to Brugal. When you go to Dominican Republic, and you go to like an all-inclusive resort, they're like, anything you want. So I was like, oh, I'll have a rum and coke, and I'll have Brugal. And then, because I was being modest, because once again, I'm poor American, I'm like, I'm not going for top shelf. And like, you know, everything's free. And I was like, oh, well, then what's the stuff in the cage in the wrapped cage or the wrapped netting?
The rope.
Yeah. And they're like, that's the top shelf Brugal. I said, well, let's fucking do that. And then when they make you a drink, they put cups out that are the size of your forearm, and then they literally pour as much of the bottle as they possibly can in, and they leave just enough room in there to give you a splash of Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. And then you're just wrecked the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I was like, can you put like 17 limes in just to take a little bit of the bite away so I can digest it?
There is no bite here.
Yeah.
There's not. When I was in the DR, they had the Brugal and the all-inclusive is it includes up to a certain level of quality of alcohol, which is a speed rack
stuff. I'm going to go next time. Like, I need that Leyenda in my life.
But when you put a $10 tip on the bar,
oh, that
on your first drink,
it opens,
and then you start have a conversation with the bartender. At some point, I looked up maybe after my third rum and coke, and I said, so buddy, let me ask you something. Jamaica is known for the rum. What's the Dominican Republic known for? And he
Jamaica.
He goes, Jamaica rum. He goes, we got Brugal. And I can't do the accent. He goes, we got Brugal. I'm there. Well, yeah, I see the bottle up there. He goes, hang on. And he grabbed the bottle. It was the blue one in the rope
netting.
And he goes, you try this.
The Viejo.
Yeah. He goes, you try this. I'm there. Well, wait. Don't mix it with Coke. I want to. Just give me a little bit straight. Well, he filled like my glass.
Yeah, they don't fuck around.
It's a 12-ounce glass. He filled it three quarters of the way up. He goes, you try this. I'm there. Try it. Holy shit.
Yeah, try it. I'm committed for the next four hours.
I was sipping on that, and it was really smooth. It was really smooth. And then the next year, we went to Jamaica, and I got to admit, Appleton Estates makes a really good rum. And I had their top end, like the 25-year aged or whatever it is. It's really good. But that Brugal Blue Bottle, I think, was
now better. Where does the legend
say? This? Holy shit.
Wait, what?
Yeah. This is
I mean, you definitely get a burn. The burn's still there.
This is the best spice rum I've ever tasted.
What the fuck is going on here?
That is the best spice rum. Bar none, that is the best spice rum I've ever tasted. And your Aunt Mary's got some really good rum sitting in her
Mary, bar. This is what you need to get in your life.
This is the best spice rum I have ever tasted.
You might need to get your hookup to bring us bottles back.
I have another bottle at home that's not open yet. Yeah.
There's a back flavor on this.
It almost has like a charcoal-y, but not in a bad way. Like almost like you could taste. I don't know.
I don't doubt for a second that they sear the barrels for this either.
Man, that. Wow.
Oh, that's the red ale. My bad. It's sweet. It has like a sweetness to it. Yeah, this is. I never thought you could drink rum just a sip, like a sip of rum, like have a rum sipper like you would like a bourbon or a whiskey. This is unbelievable.
Man, that's tasty, man. That is.
Wow. So beer of the night, the legend. Here. Yeah, we're down. No. All right. So while we're cracking open the last one of the podcast,
we got a little palate cleanser here.
Yeah. For this one. Butterface. The name comes from Everything's Nice Butterface, so this is kind of has a little bit of an anti-woman name, as we just said, we love women. Yeah, but that's the name of the beer. We didn't name it. Yeah, we didn't name it. But the is this bourbon?
I believe it's bourbon and butterscotch.
Oh boy, and with a bang here.
That's your rum.
No,
that's my red ale.
That's my rum. That's yours. That's my rum. That's my red ale. The STDs in the chat. The Square Table Degenerates. What's going on, guys? Man, you guys are doing shots at 2 p.m. This is going to be a fun day. you know, not just shots, man. This Brugal is insane. But when are we collaborating, boys? When are we gonna set up a live stream and talk and hang out? We gotta figure that out. We have the capabilities of bringing people in remotely. So,
all right. So whenever you're ready,
go ahead, man.
All right. So. This is Butterface from Bovino's Pizzeria and Brewery of East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania.
The last beer of the show.
This is considered a milk or sweet stout. It comes in at 6.5% ABV. It's listed at 59 IBUs. I lost my spot here.
34 check-ins. Holy fuck.
Yeah, it's been checked in 34 times where it averages a 3.95. I have one friend check-in where it averages a 4.5. And again, the description is from the brewery's menu. A smooth stout with bold chocolate, butterscotch, and bourbon flavors, along with a roasty malt body, combines with a very unique, one-of-a-kind milk stout. And on tap, the flavor profile is creamy, caramel, and butterscotch.
He says, hells yes, for sure. I would probably have to hit you up because I don't drink anymore. Well, congratulations. If that's your choice, that's awesome. And I hope if you made that choice is for a health reason or for getting away from maybe possible issues or problematic problems. So that's good. As long as you're cool with weed, we'll talk. I may partake, but yeah, hit me up. Where are you guys based out of again? Are you guys, I forget exactly. I think you told me, but I forgot, but where are you guys based out of? Oh, you're taking a picture. I almost stole it from you while you're snapping your photo. I've been known to do that. All right, there you go. All right. So Butterface.
Which one? Oh, here it is.
Yeah, it's right in front of him.
Huge caramel right off the bat. And it kind of melts away into the butterscotch.
Holy fuck.
The bourbon's really subtle, at least at this point. It probably comes out more when it warms.
So I did a small pour because I thought a boozy butterscotch taste would be gross. And a milk stout on top of it. Everything about this beer just name my, it just sounds gross to me, but this is really tasty. Uh-oh. Are you, is this good or?
I'm taking the long way back to Cortland. I'm taking the long way. I'm via East Stroudsburg.
Yeah.
It's out of my way. But there's a very real
possibility. This is really good.
If they're open tomorrow, there's a very real possibility I'm stopping in.
Really?
I got to get out to East Stroudsburg.
Are you leaving tonight, sure? Or are you staying for 4th of July?
No, tomorrow. Heck, I got to head back. Tomorrow's
Monday.
If you go, be sure and eat too.
I either got to head back tomorrow evening or early Tuesday morning.
Okay. We are both out of Cleveland, but I'm in North. Sorry, burped on the mic. Right on the microphone. North Olmsted.
Like Cleveland, I gotta ask. What's your take on renaming them to the Guardians?
Who?
The guys
Cleveland. Cleveland Indians change. We're in the same boat. We had a team change. It is what it is. You just kind of go with it. There's nothing you can do about it.
See, now the Redskins, I still think they should have changed their name to the corrupt politicians and made their logo the Capitol Dome with a dollar sign on it.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't disagree with that.
I think our team name should have been "We hate our fucking owner. This guy's a piece of shit scumbag."
How is he still in?
That doesn't
how
fit on a T-shirt.
Is he still in power there? Jeez. I mean, I know in on paper he has relinquished day to day operations or whatever to his wife. But you know goddamn well he's making the decisions.
That's like Vince McMahon saying, "I'm giving the company to Stephanie."
Exactly.
Or like when Steinbrenner didn't have control of the Yankees.
He said, I hated the name change with every fiber of my being. It's going to be hard for me to watch a Cleveland's baseball team game ever again. I hear you, man. I grew up a diehard Washington fan. I just accepted it. We're the Commanders now. It is what it is.
You know what? Cleveland gets, excuse my language, but Cleveland got fucked in the past 6, 7, 8 years. LeBron left them, made it a major television event.
Fuck LeBron.
And then
their football team is their football team.
The Browns are just a fucking train wreck. you take a guy who elevated you from being a laughing stock to the playoffs and beating your rival, your biggest rival, and then they chuck him aside for a guy who likes to get his dick stroked from fucking massage parlor women. Who are not in that type of massage parlor business.
Yeah.
It's just to the baseball team changing their name.
I as a Washington fan and just knowing how shitty our team has been for a long time and how diehard they are, Cleveland's just as diehard about their sports program.
Cleveland, you said it best because it's a what's his name?
Well, the fans are.
Yeah, they're just dedicated to their program.
Cleveland,
I love it.
Fans are the best.
Yeah,
they're just diehard Cleveland fans, and they love their city, blue collar city. I've been there.
There's one other sports teams fan. I won't even give it to the whole state. I'll give it to one sports teams fan who is on the same level to me as fandom, and that's the Buffalo Bills fans.
Yeah,
there's no one more passionate. Here's the thing. I'll also throw the Eagles in there, but they're passionate, but take it to the extreme sometimes.
They're passionate to the asshole.
A Philadelphia Eagle fans can tell you their fourth string offensive left tackle. Like, they know everything about their sports teams through and through, and they're passionate. Same with Cleveland, same with Buffalo. Like, they're sports teams fans, just like, love them or hate them, they love where they come from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Even the summer. What is it? USFL.
Yeah.
Philly fans have, and they're not even playing in Philly. They play all their games in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah. And they're just like, we'll kill for them.
And they love their Philly team.
Yeah. We were in Cleveland, not Cleveland. We were in when we picked you up from the airport.
We were in Cleveland.
Was it Cleveland?
Yeah. Yeah. I was in the original Dog Pound. Cleveland Stadium, the old stadium.
A
week before Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in the Dog Pound.
You like this square table? That's Cleveland, guys.
In Cleveland, Ohio. I'm neither to see the Vikings, and I'm neither a Cleveland Browns fan or.
But my uncle Frank. My uncle Frank, from born and raised Pennsylvania, is the biggest diehard Browns fan you'll meet in Pennsylvania in your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So he gets a trip together, and he takes 6, 7 of his friends.
Sorry to cut you off real quick again. But also, the big thing on YouTube now is people trying to sneak into games and get in for free. dude, my Uncle Frank has been a legend. My Uncle Frank and Jody, who are no longer, like, Jody's no longer with us, but Frank is still here, have been doing this since they're fucking old enough to know better and been very, very good at it.
Absolutely.
And he's not like a small, squirmy guy who fits into a crowd. Frank looks like he could be an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
And he finds ways to get into games.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Not only finds ways into games, but puts himself in situations where he's going to get the best experience of the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So he calls me a week before Christmas, 2 days before the trip. And he says, I got a problem. I said, what's the problem? He goes, I need a driver for the van because I don't trust anybody to stay sober. So I need a designated driver. I'm there. He goes, your ticket's paid for to the game. Your hotel room is paid for the game. The only thing you have to pay for is your booze and your food. I can do that.
But you need to stay sober. But
I need
just to pay for your own booze.
I need to stay sober.
School so county.
we go to Cleveland. I'm the driver for the bus trip to Cleveland. And we get there. And I'm looking at the forecast. It's gonna be 14 below with the fucking wind chill.
Hell yeah. That's why another reason why they're diehard fans.
So I'm dressed in long johns, sweatshirt and hoodie, then ski pants and a goose down
and
jacket.
And there's fucking psychos there with no shirts on with browns painted on their chest.
Like full face dinky,
yep.
Just the eyes and the mouth, and fucking two pair of gloves.
Like you're going
on.
To space.
Yeah. and I felt like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I couldn't fucking
I can't put my arms down.
Halftime, it was 0-0. I mean, there was no offense. You couldn't do anything but run the ball.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck this, I'm out. I went back to the hotel and ordered a pot of coffee to warm up and then proceeded to undress in the lobby of the fucking hotel till the game was over, and then we came home. It was the coldest I've ever been in my life.
Well, what was the game that you guys went to where Uncle Frank was at the tunnel and
at that time they were the Redskins, the Washington, the Commanders versus the Browns
in Cleveland
in RFK Stadium.
I thought it was
in
Cleveland.
No, it was RFK Stadium in Washington. And we got tickets for face value from fans and we were sitting two sections apart. So we weren't sitting together and he went down to the tunnel. It was a playoff. Both teams had a win to stay in the hunt for the playoffs, and Washington got beat. But
they made an NFL documentary about the season of the Browns. Because if you watch the NFL documentary,
yeah.
You can see my uncle in the story we're about to tell.
I don't know what year it was. Bernie Kosar was the quarterback, but he walked around the other end of the stadium to the tunnel, and he's standing at the tunnel as the Browns are coming off the field. And all he wants to do, and you can see him in the video, he just wants to high-five Bernie Kosar. And Bernie Kosar tosses him the ball. The game ball.
The game ball.
Now, I'm sitting in the car. It's fucking raining. I'm sitting in the car, and we're tossing the football around in the parking lot pregame. So I'm sitting in the car, and I had this football in my fucking hand because it was sitting on the passenger seat. And I'm kind of just holding his ball, and I see Frank running across the parking lot and he's holding this fucking ball in his hand. And my first thought was that stupid son of a bitch took the fucking ball we were throwing around in the park lot into the game with him. And then I'm looking at myself. I'm there. No, I'm holding that ball. That son of a bitch got the game ball.
Yeah.
And he comes in, he's there. Bernie Kosar gave me the game ball. Bernie Kosar gave me the game ball. And sure enough, Bernie Kosar tossed
when he
the ball.
Threw him the ball. He fumbled it. On the tarp of the entryway.
Yeah.
Frank's like, that's not going anywhere but me. And dove over the banister for the ball. So when you see...
go through.
Almost.
No.
Someone
no,
caught
almost.
Him.
Almost. Yeah. Almost.
And he's not a small man. So when you go back and watch this season of the Browns, I did like a whole NFL... Like, the guy who does the voice like... And the Browns came into Washington.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
And there's a video of Kosar walking out and he just... And you see Frank, he's just huge fucking gorilla. And he's just like, give me the ball.
Three people in the entire stadium waiting for the Browns to come off the stadium, and he's one of them.
And he throws the ball, and he's just like, I'm going. He just dives, and you just see this psycho diving for a ball.
You want to hear the best of it? The best of it is the next year, they're playing the Cardinals in Arizona for a pregame. He flew out to Arizona with the fucking ball
to get it autographed.
And he was there during warmups. And he goes, Frank has the ability. He's a savant when it comes to sports. Penn State, Cleveland.
Oh, he's an encyclopedia.
He's a savant. He's a walking encyclopedia. And he's there, Charlie. And that's the assistant to the assistant's trainer's name. He's like, Charlie, come here. And it's this fucking nobody in the Cleveland organization walks over.
Know my name?
And he goes, that was the second question. Like, what do you want? How do you know my name?
Yeah.
And then he goes, you see, and he's talking to this guy during warmups of the pregame. And he goes, you see this ball? Bernie Kosar threw me this ball in Washington last year. Is there any chance you can go get it? You can go see Bernie and get it autographed for me. And the fucking guy says, I'll give it a shot. And he takes the ball and he walks over to Bernie Kosar and he's pointing back, you know, like you're talking. He's like, this fucking clown flew all the way. He goes, I flew all the way from Pennsylvania. And Bernie Kosar signed the fucking ball.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
He flew to fucking Arizona to get his ball signed at warm at preseason or whatever. Yeah.
A preseason game.
Yeah.
Flew to Arizona for a preseason game.
Love him. Frank is the man. And that ball's still probably in his house framed.
Somewhere.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed that square tail. That's our Uncle Frank's diehard Clevelandness. And then also Sam goes, Jack Dorso is the fourth string offensive tackle for the Eagles, by the way.
What college?
Yeah. Redskins may be worth a good shit of money in the future. I have some stuff I'm sitting on, some stuff I got rid of.
I've got a couple of Redskin things.
Like I have some jerseys I won't get rid of because I have like a London Fletcher jersey and a Chris Cooley jersey and
I have a
broken leg Billy Kilmer.
I have a Sean Taylor still.
He's gonna go down in Redskin lore. RG3 jersey.
That will you know be, what's interesting
that'll
about him?
Be worth money someday.
I have three RG3 jerseys.
That'll be worth money someday.
I still think he helped change the culture a little bit for our team, regardless. Like they didn't want to win until he got there. But he was gonna put a whole tell-all book out. Like, I'm gonna tell everything about my experience with the Washington football organization and the whole nine. And all of a sudden his book never came out, and now he's fucking on TV. So someone's covering something up and got him in.
Yeah, I would.
Because he's the analyst of every single game you watch.
Yeah, but now there's no reason to hide it because it's been exposed.
I think there's even more.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, anytime the media uncovers something, they're just uncovering the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, that RG3 rookie year, bro, he killed my fantasy. Yeah, I had him in fantasy because I every year I play fantasy, I draft way too many Washington players because I'm like, they're going to do it, bro.
Yeah.
That was a cool football.
But like, especially in football in particular for sports.
You know who Bob likes?
Wait, don't tell me. I'm going to say it's got to be an obscure team. He doesn't come across as an Eagles fan.
Nope. Not even
come across as an NFC East fan. I'm gonna say old school. So it's gonna be a team that's been around forever. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say Detroit Lions are not my guess, but that type of been around forever. Chicago, Detroit.
Yeah.
Right? Been around forever.
Not quite as long as the Lions.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say.
They were good at one point in time too. Probably, in my opinion, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Colts.
There's some shared history there, but the Dolphins.
Dolphins. Okay.
I think Dan Marino is a monster.
Yeah. To never win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When I was little and we moved away from here, we actually moved to Miami and we lived there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So all the Dolphins' glory days were like when I was in first, second, and third grade. And,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
So, yeah, then that's how I became an
Dolphins. Okay, Michael Lomore. Yeah. All right. So that was a fun little. That wasn't even planned. That just happened.
A fun little 10 minutes.
Yeah. All right. So we're let's do our beer of the night from Bonavino's Brewing.
Bovino's.
I put an N in there that's not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Bovino's. I know what's going to win you. I thought you were grabbing your first.
No,
beer.
I'm looking at CanArt because it's going to come down to.
It's going to come to CanArt for you.
I already know what my beer of the night is. I just got to see what the CanArt's going to be.
We haven't done that in a while.
CanArt of the night. Yeah.
That tells how long I've been.
I have a feeling that you two are going to go the same route for beer of the night. And I'm going to pick my beer of the night, and it's not even a beer that I would normally like. I would have never picked this in a lineup to even try because everything about it I thought would have been gross, but it was really, really, really tasty. I'm going to go Butterface.
That's where I'm going.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah. 100%.
The save the best for last. That was
crazy.
That was really, really good. I gave that a 5.
Really?
I gave that a 5.
Yeah, that's insane. And then, so
Karen, if you're listening, that is an awesome
good pick.
Beer.
Now here's where we really talked these two beers up in the beginning of the show for me, but I think at the end of the day, when our overall palate of beer, we still like beers that taste like beer, right? Like we want a beer flavor. So fruit flavored adjuncts are a good time. They're a blast. They're tasty. But I think at the end of the day, if like you give us a lager, a pilsner, or that style of beer, we're going to lean there every single day of the week. So I'm going to say my second place, I'm going to go Red Ale.
I'm going to agree with you again. That would be my second choice.
Yeah. The Red Ale was that sweetness of the Red Ale. I've never had something like that before.
I would agree. I would agree.
Now, this is where we might all waver.
So for the third pick, they were both fantastic. I think that the fruit mix gives just a little extra edge, and I'm going to go with the Lip Tickler for number 3.
You want to be the deciding?
Yeah, I'm already going to be deciding because you're going cherry.
I'm going cherry.
Yeah,
black cherry. I knew you were going cherry. The black cherry did it for me.
The black cherry for me was absolutely fantastic. It brought back memories for me with like just the black cherry flavoring, and I'm going to go to a grocery store. I'm going to send Heidi to a grocery store as soon as this episode's over to go get black cherries because I think she's out and about, and I'm like, go buy a bag of black cherries.
Get a gallon of Turkey Hill, black cherry iced tea.
The black cherry ice cream.
Yeah.
Or the Bing cherries.
I really liked the Lip Tickler. I thought it was really, really good.
I mean, that's like I said before, you know, I've been there twice. I've had 7 beers, and there are no stinkers in the bunch.
It's a coin toss. Place is a coin toss. I like the mixture of the berry flavor,
and
they're both going in.
And I told her too. I said, you know, now that we've been here not just once, but everything here is fantastic. The beer is great. The food is good. This is going to become. That's too far out of the way to be like every week or
to be a stop.
Definitely.
Go to the outlets.
Get to the point where we'd be like at least considered semi regulars.
Go to the outlets. Go to the brewery.
I'm telling you, you can't go wrong.
I've got to get there. If Karen, if you're listening, I've got to get
there. These people obviously know what they're doing. They do it well. They take pride in not just their beer but their food. There's nothing bad that I can say about anything I've had there.
He says, look at the similarities between Dan Marino and Joe Burrow. He says, both made the Super Bowl and lost in their second year, and both will be more likely to never have a Super Bowl appearance beyond that one. I don't know. I think Joe Burrow is going to do some things.
That's going to be tough. That's tough to say.
Our team unfortunately took Joe Burrow out his second year, his first year with injury. Chase Young got a hold of him in the backfield and kind of broke him up a little bit. But I never want to wish injury. That's not what I'm bragging about. But Joe Burrow is really, really talented. This lineup was unbelievable. Very, very impressed. You guys are awesome. If you ever are interested, if you do listen and you made it this far, if you're interested in us coming up, like I said, we travel light. We keep our quality high, even though we travel light. We'd love to come up and do an episode. The invitations out there, we'd love to. If you're willing to have us, we would love to come up and sit down with maybe the owner or the brewer, a waitress staff, or if you don't want anyone to sit with us, we'll drink beers in your establishment. We like to have the background aesthetic of your establishment while we record our episode. You don't have to shut anything down for us. Just put us in a corner. We don't need a lot of space.
Awesome. Yeah. But like I think that would be great to like have the brewer here and the story, but what made you decide to do this?
How long he's been doing it? Because if he's making quality of beer this time and he's all self-taught, that's impressive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Yeah,
listen, the pizza's good.
And I'm just
all the more reason to go there.
Listen, if there's pizza involved, I'll walk out of there with heartburn the size of my head. I don't care. We'll have a blast. But let's wrap it up there, Bob. What do you got to plug?
Again, our brewery of the day, Bovino's. If you're ever near Stroudsburg or East Stroudsburg, it's well worth your time to check it out. Again, not just the beer, the food is excellent as well. You will not be wasting your time if you go there. And I believe that today I have my party beverage shirt on. Party Beverage, Route 93 in Cunningham. There
you go. And you can stop at Cunningham Brewing Company.
Again, great selection, friendly staff. And if you're into it, it's another place that runs the slushy machines.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pops.
I will not be at Brewfest this year. Boo. Because I've been invited to a bike with the company that owns my company. The insurance company is sponsoring a team of bikers, five bikers. I'll be doing the Bend to Shore. So from the Ben Franklin Bridge to Atlantic City that weekend, that Sunday. So I won't be at Beer Fest this year. I'll be doing a 65-mile bike ride.
I was going to say, yeah.
That weekend.
Ben Franklin Bridge to Atlantic City, that's a lot of pedaling.
Yeah, it's a lot of pedaling. It's a charity ride that benefits fallen emergency service responders, police officers.
Yeah.
So it's a great charity. My company is a major sponsor. The company that owns the company I work for is a major sponsor, and I got an email out of the blue. I don't know how they got my email address posted somewhere that I'd love to do.
If they own your employer, yeah, that wasn't too hard.
But they probably saw somewhere along the line where I made a comment, I would love to do this at some point. I got an email a few months ago saying, hey, we know you'd like to do this ride. Would you like to join us? I'm like, I'm in.
You got to get a Bang & Beer sticker for your helmet.
I've got the old one, the one we don't use anymore.
Oh, the skull?
Yeah.
Oh, where did $10 come from? I just lifted up my mixing board. $10 sitting underneath it.
But
here, use this.
I will gladly put that on.
You can cut it out like and make it better and make smaller. But there's that, and then you can have a. Yeah, right. Your son's face.
I'll put them on my helmet.
All right.
So that's what I'm doing the last weekend. Well, it's the weekend of beer.
And you're bringing us some War Horse soon.
I hope to get up to War Horse and
we need another War Horse episode.
Pick up some.
How did they recover from the fire?
That was there's multiple buildings in their
complex. No, I understand the brewery wasn't affected, but
the brewery was not affected. They have.
Their distillery.
It's a wine. The Bagdare. Which is Cajun.
I thought that was like their bourbon section.
It's their sweeter wine. It's a section in the back where you go through, and it looks like you're in the Louisiana. That's the winery, the building that burned down. So they're gonna rebuild it.
One of these weekends, we should go up and.
You were there.
Yeah, we should go up and, I mean, I'm not saying we're going to sleep on your couch, but we should go up and crash on his couch and do the Finger Lakes again.
Sure.
And do a trip around the Finger Lakes. A
road trip sure. With Rosa, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Cortland, we could find places to stay if you don't want to sleep on his couch, but like if you and Rosa come up and...
We got three hotels, two of them I would recommend, four hotels, three of them I would recommend, one I would not.
Yeah, but dude, that area up there is dope. There's a lot of, like, not just wine, like the beer scene up there is really cool.
Yeah, depending on where you want to go. Know,
that's another thing that still amazes me is upstate New York, Vermont and New Hampshire and all up in that way. How many cideries are still around?
Yeah. I personally would like to do it.
Yep.
Towards the end of summer, beginning of fallish, where it's still warm but not super like That's what I like, because it can get, because like there's points up there where there's just no coverage. You're just in the heat. Yeah. It's
Warhorse is a great place to visit.
My boss said that was the coolest brewery.
Oh, how you love like history stuff. You'll walk in there and it's just, it looks like you're back in World War II era. Yeah, like all the stuff around is so cool. Theme. Yeah.
Their beer is military themed.
And all their beer, like I said, has a history to it. Like everything they do has like a reference point of why they did it.
Oh, yeah, like I was hip on Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool. It's a cool visit. It's about an hour. I don't want to say an hour.
What was the theater one that we went to? The rail spiker.
Twisted Rail in Geneva.
Yeah. Dude, that one was creepy.
That was not creepy.
Like the brewery isn't creepy, but we sat in that brewery and like talked about his mom for like 2 hours. Right.
Yeah.
And then turn the corner and there's Elizabeth, not just his mom's name. Right. Elizabeth. Right. Elizabeth Street. No. Elizabeth Blackwell Street. Around the corner from the brewery from El Geneva. We literally got out and like we're half drunk and we're like, oh my God, it's her name.
Yeah. I have no idea. That's the
truth behind Illusion.
It was creepy.
I have no idea what Elizabeth Blackwell has to the city of Geneva, but they named a street after
her. And we were literally in the bar talking for 2 hours about her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really weird. But my plug today is going to be the IWP Network, as always. Go over, and if you can support us, if you made it this far, you're listening to the audio, if you can snap a screenshot of your phone and say, hey, I'm listening to this podcast, you should check it out. That'd be great. We're still trying to find our spot. Some people of the podcast are going to be in and out a lot. Summertime, lives are busy, but you're going to see mostly, for the most part, just me and Bob at the table, and we're going to rotate the guests in more often. The door is always open for people to come and hang out, but for the most part, it's going to be me and Bob's show. Also, I want to plug the Square Degenerates podcast, our Square Degenerates table. So go check out their YouTube page and go give them a follow and support those guys. They're always coming in here and hanging out, as well as Last Beer. He popped in here earlier on, so go support them. And like I said, if you guys can support us with a share, a like, a donation, a Patreon, a t-shirt, whatever you can do, it'd be great. Like I said, it doesn't cost you anything to do a share or just say, hey, go check out Bangin' Beers. It'd be awesome. We are trying to grow the YouTube channel to get more subscribers, so that's kind of our goal now. And that's all I got, man. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Like I said, we're back every other 2 weeks. We'll be back in 2 weeks. I'm not exactly sure what beer lineup we're doing yet. Do you know?
I'm not sure yet either, but I'll get it to you as soon as I can.
Cool. Yeah, so keep an eye out on the social medias. We'll be posting the newest episode. Enjoy your 4th of July weekend. Please drink responsibly. Do not drink and drive. Keep everybody safe. Don't blow your fingers off with fireworks. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Happy birthday, America.